Psalm 26 reads as follows, a psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honour dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. This is a psalm of contrast, as indicated by that 11th verse, but as for me. There's a great contrast between the psalmist and his walk, his desire, his love, his integrity, and that of those around him of whom he speaks. There's a contrast here between the precious and the vile, between the righteous and the wicked, between the child of God and the children of the devil. A contrast. And in this great contrast, we're reminded very plainly that there are indeed two types of people in this world. Those who are God's. Those who are born of God. Those who love God and walk in his ways. Those who are chosen of God unto salvation. And those who are the children of the devil. All of whom are born of Adam. All of whom are born men, women and children. All, when they are born, appearing the same, children of wrath, having the same evil heart, the same rebellious nature. All of whom have fallen when Adam fell in sin and disobeyed God and went away from God. All of whom are born speaking lies, all by nature, in appearance the same. And yet there are some amongst that number whom God has chosen before ever they were born and said, this one is mine, and this one will in time be born again, because I have chosen him in Christ. He is mine. I have loved him with an everlasting salvation. I have set him apart for me. I have redeemed him by offering up my son. He will be mine. He will follow me. There is a people in this world who are set apart from others. And it's not because of any good in them. It's because of that grace and mercy which they find in their God and their Saviour. As for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me, David writes. David's integrity was not natural to himself as a man. As a man, he was a sinner as all of us. But because of the mercy and the grace of his God unto him, he had been called to walk another way. His integrity was found in his Lord. And he's always mindful of that redemption and that mercy which God has given unto him. But as for me, now amongst which people are you? When you read David's words here, can they describe you? Or are they words that are foreign unto you? Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Well, is that you? Or is that a million miles away from where you are and where you have walked? If God judged you, what would he find? If he looked within, what would he see? If he looked upon not just your outward conduct, but your speech and your thoughts and your heart within, what would God find? Would you stand? David writes, I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Will you slide? Where is your trust? Have you trusted in the Lord? Or do you trust in riches and in the strength and the will of man? Do you trust in your own goodness and your own righteousness? Do you trust in religion? Do you trust in this world? Do you trust in the pleasures of this world? Do you trust in the wisdom of this world? Where is your trust? David says, I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. If you trust in riches, if you trust in your own wisdom, if you trust in the entertainment and the pleasures and the careers and the prospects of this world, you will slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Oh, what will God find if he examines you and tries your reins and your heart? What will he find within? Could you ever get to a place like David and write such things and think that God will be pleased? I think not. We're all sinners. We've all gone astray. Not one of us has done good. Not one of us has sought the Lord. And if you're honest with yourself, you'd say the same. By nature, you never sought him. You know the sin within. Even if you're religious, even if you go to the meeting, even if you read the scriptures, even if you seek to walk right, even if you seek to do what's good before God, you know within the heart that there's so much filth and wretchedness that if God looked within, you'd never stand. You might be able to put an appearance on before others and try to stand before them in their sight. You might be able to hide all the evil from others and try to pass in the courts of this world, as it were. But you know that within, if God saw what's hidden from others within you, that you'd never stand. How could you possibly say unto God, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart? You know if he did that, he'd find you wanting. And his judgment and his wrath would pour forth and you'd be burnt up. Then how can David write in such a way? For he's a man like you and I. He was a sinner like you and I. David fell greatly. What David did with Bathsheba in having her husband slain in battle that he might have his wife. What David did was a great evil. And yet it's that man who says here, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. What kind of integrity have you got, David? By nature, no greater than yours or mine. Then he must be looking somewhere else. He cannot be speaking of his own natural integrity because it was in tatters. And he writes elsewhere, he writes in Psalm 51, he writes elsewhere in the scriptures of his own sin and his own evil and his own need of forgiveness. Then how can he hear in the 26th Psalm say unto his Lord, judge me, I've walked in mine integrity, examine me, look within. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. How can he write that? He can write it because it's not regarding him himself. It's regarding his Saviour and what he is through his Saviour. These words are the words that describe Christ. If Christ the Son of God was writing this psalm, he could write these words and they'd be true of him. And when David writes the psalm regarding himself, he's speaking of his position in Christ. It's because he's in Christ that he can ask the Lord to judge him. It's because he's in Christ that he has walked in integrity. It's because he's in Christ that he's trusted the Lord. It's because he's in Christ that he will not slide. It's because he's in Christ that the Lord can examine him, prove him, try his reins and try his heart and find him not guilty. It's because he's in Christ that the Lord's loving kindness is before David's eyes and he has walked in his truth. It's what he is in Christ. Christ has taken all that David was by nature. All the wretchedness, all the rebellion, all the evil, all the deceit, all the lies, all the hatred. God has taken all of that and placed it upon Jesus Christ. And Christ took all of that to the cross. And Christ looked up to his Father as one who was made to be what David was. Christ in David's place, in David's stead, in David's shoes, bearing David's sin, made to be what David was, said unto God, judge me, O Lord. Judge me, O Lord. And when God looked upon the Son of God in that state, his judgment was not guilty. His judgment was not to see one who would stand in integrity. But he saw the sinner David. And he slew the sinner David in his own Son, Jesus Christ. And Christ died. And Christ's blood was shed. And Christ felt the fires of God's wrath for David. That David, as a result, could say, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. Because he knew that through Christ and his death and his blood, all that he was, all that he had done, was washed away. And he knew by faith that if his Lord examined him, he'd find within no sin, no spot, no blemish. It was all gone. All that he was all gone. All that he had done had been blotted out. He was righteous. And he was righteous because his God had shown mercy unto him and redeemed him and set him free. Because his God had taken his sin and blotted it out. Because his God had loved him and shown great mercy unto him. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. It's what David is in Christ. And that's what set David apart from his peers. That's what set David apart from the wicked men of whom he speaks. That's where the difference is. Not in David himself. Not because of something David did or some wisdom David had or some decision David made. But because God set his love upon him, took his sin and blotted it out. And David, having come to know this, David having heard the gospel, David having been led by faith to Jesus Christ his Saviour, could look unto him and know that before God he stood righteous. And he could go on to say, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hand in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. He knew he'd been separated from all that he was. It's not that he didn't have anything to do with others like him around and about. But he'd been separated. He'd been delivered from what he was. And he no longer went with vain persons to indulge in their evil. He no longer loved the congregation of evildoers. He loved the congregation of the Lord. He no longer sit with the wicked and indulge in their wickedness. He'd been set apart from them. And he desired the company of his fellow brethren in Christ. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. This is where David's been brought to a point of having heard that gospel that delivered him, that set him free, that took the chains upon his hands and broke them away, that released him. Having been delivered, having been freed, having been brought to peace with Almighty God, all he can do, all he wants to do is publish with his voice the wondrous works of God in Jesus Christ. He wants to tell others of this Almighty God that set him free, that set his love upon him. That said, David, thy sins be forgiven thee, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Now have you, like David, been brought there? Now that, like David, by nature, there's no way that you could say, judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in mine integrity. There's no way that you could ask God to examine you and prove you and try your reins in your heart. There's no way that you could say that you have walked in God's truth. And like David, there's no way that you could say that you've not sat with vain persons, because you have. And you've not gone with dissemblers, because you have. And you've not hated the congregation of the evildoers, because you've loved their congregation, you've loved their company, you've loved their entertainment, you've loved the pleasures of this world, you've loved the sin of this world, you've sat with the wicked daily, you know you've done all those things. But if, like David, you've come to know this Saviour and this salvation, then you will be brought to the same point as David, where, having known that, you can now say unto God, judge me, prove me, look within and find any evil thing. Look at my heart. I have walked with thee. I no longer love the company of the wicked. I no longer love the wisdom of this world. I want to publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Have you been brought there? Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. As with David, so with all the children of God. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Can you say, with David, with his Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, but as for me, but as for me? Is there a contrast? Were you once a child of wrath, even as others? And are you now a child of God, delivered from what you once were, what you once did, and the judgment of God against it, and set apart by the grace and the love of God under salvation? Are you a child of God, or are you a child of the devil? But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. It's a psalm of contrast. And this is a word of contrast, but we read a number of buts in the scriptures. Wonderful turning point and hinges where God takes and contrasts the way of darkness with the way of the gospel. But now the righteousness of God is revealed. This is how it was in this world. This is the sin of all men. Paul says in Romans, he proves all men to be sinners. Jews and Greeks, religious and irreligious, whatever you are, wherever you are, whatever your birth, whatever your location, whether you're rich or poor, black or white, wherever, whatever, we're all sinners. And we're all condemned, and the law rings out its judgment and condemnation against us. We're all under wrath by nature. But now, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. But there's a point, there's a change, there's a contrast. And there's a contrast in this psalm between the psalmist in Christ, between his Saviour and his people, and all those outside. All those wicked who are never brought to know Jesus Christ, who've never been chosen like David under salvation. But as for me, as for me, David, as it were, stood alone here. The contrast is rarely of a thousand with a thousand. Usually comes across as one in contrast to many. The multitudes will go their way. But if I stand alone, even if I'm the only one, David says, I am going to go this way. This might put me on my own. I might be alone. I might be persecuted and scorned and cast out for this. But I know my God, and I know his loving kindness, and I know his mercy, and I cannot go any other way. Everyone else might be going this way. Everyone else might advise me to go this way. Everyone else might say I'm a fool for the gospel that I speak of. Everyone else might reject all my publishing of the wondrous works of God. They might laugh at me and scoff at me and cast me out and try to put me to death. But I can do nothing else. As for me, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. I will stand for these things. I will speak of them. I will walk by faith. I can do nothing else, because I have a God who has redeemed me and shown me his mercy. And he's put me upon an even place. He's taken me and made me to stand upon the rock. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. It doesn't matter if I'm on my own. It doesn't matter if I'm gathered with just one or two. I know my God and I will speak of his gospel. But as for me, but we have this contrast in a number of places in the scriptures. But as for me, Joshua knew it. Joshua, picture of Christ again, stood up before the people of Israel and said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, whatever the gods, choose whether you're going to serve them, or whether you're going to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Where do you stand with that? What gods are you serving? What gods do you love? Do you love the God of mammon? Do you love the God of riches? Do you love the God of entertainment? The God of pleasure? Do you love the hedonistic God of this day and this age? Do you love the God of music and the God of television and the God of movies and the God of shows and the God of all sorts of distraction? The God of sport? Do you love all the pleasures that this world can bring your way, but you never think of the living God? And you never consider your soul? And you never consider the passing of time? And you never consider where you stand before a holy God? There are many gods to distract us, many idols of the imagination, many things that take up our thought and attention, many things which seem legitimate, many which have formed part of the practice and the pathway of our lives. We have to work, but work can become a god. We have to eat, but food can become a god. We have to drink, but drink can become a god. We have families, but our families can become a god. We live in this world, but the world around us, where we live, can become a god. We have work to do, but our work can become a god. We have study, but study can become a god. There are so many things, so much that takes our time up, much of which is just what we have to do, but it can become a god. You worship it. You're taken up with it. You never think beyond it. And I have to consider Jesus Christ and his gospel is merely a distraction to you. Something you've no time for, no desire for, no care for. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't think that you are in some state of neutrality. You're serving something. You've got your gods that you serve. Every day you're serving something. And it's either the gods of this world, or it's the one true and living God that Joshua served. But as for me, David in the Psalms, in various places, picks up this but. Psalm 5, "My voice that shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. A psalm mirroring much of what we see in Psalm 26. In Psalm 35, we read, verse 9, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversary they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. Oh, the contrast between David here and his enemies. When trouble came his way, they rejoiced. When trouble came their way, he was full of compassion for them. What a difference there is in the character and the heart of the child of God as he is in Jesus Christ. What a difference. The wicked of this world rejoice in the downfall of God's people. They rejoice in the downfall of others. The Lord's people are full of compassion. They forgive much because they've been forgiven much. In Psalm 69, we read in verse 5, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house have eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garments, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gates speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. So again, he echoes the same truths. His enemies speak evil of him, but he trusts in the Lord. His trust is in the Lord. And again in Psalm 73, this time a psalm of Asaph, he writes, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should defend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. My God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So here Asaph, this psalmist, presents the contrast between him and the wicked, in that he sees the wicked all around him. And as a man, he sees how they prosper and how they have it easy, despite their wickedness. And his natural doubts and fears come upon him, that he looks upon them and sees how they prosper. But he's reminded that their prosperity is for a moment. They seem to have it easier, whereas he who loves God is brought through all manner of trial and difficulty. They seem to have it easy, but their end is destruction. Their end is destruction. So it often is. Those who hate God, the wicked, seem to have the pleasures and the riches and the ease of this world. But their life is but a moment. And then they're judged and destroyed. And you may go after the pleasure that the wicked have all around you. You may be distracted by them. But be reminded that their lives are but a vapour, a moment. And then they are judged. Asaph, despite all his troubles, despite the loneliness of the child of God, despite the persecution he comes under, despite the fact that everyone mocks him and scoffs him, and says unto him, where's your God? Look at him, why has he left you like this? Your God's so great, why does he seem to bless others and not you? Despite all outward appearances, he knows in the end that his hope is in heaven. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. But as for me, but as for me, can you say, but as for me? Can you say that God has done something for you and changed you and put a different desire in your heart? That he could judge you and look at you and find you not guilty because you are in Christ. But as for me, in many respects, who is the me here? As we've said, in himself, David was guilty. By nature, David was guilty. By nature, if God judged and looked upon David, he'd find all manner of evil But because Christ had taken David's sin and taken it away, in Christ, David could say, "Judge me, O Lord." In Christ, David could say, "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity." In Christ, he is redeemed. In Christ, he knows mercy. Because the me truly is Christ. We see the contrast in this psalm and in other psalms between the wicked and the ways of the wicked and the righteous. The character, the walk, the desire, the heart of the righteous. And there is only one righteous, Jesus Christ. Child of God, we are righteous in him, but he is our righteousness. There is only one righteous. We have his righteousness. We have the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ through faith. It's faith which weds us to him. But he is the righteousness of God. There is only one whom God can judge and find perfect. And David knew that one. David knew his Saviour. David knew this salvation. David knew this righteousness. And could speak of it in relation to himself. Could speak of it experimentally. Because his God had looked upon him in his sin and chosen him. And chosen him. "Who maketh thee to differ?" Paul asks in Corinthians. Who maketh thee to differ? What brings someone to the point where they can say, "As for me, I will follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," when once they went the same way that everyone else went? What makes them to differ? What changes them? "Who maketh thee to differ from another?" Paul asks. "And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glorious if thou hadst not received it?" What makes thee to differ? God makes thee to differ. God made David to differ. There was nothing in David by nature that set him apart from the wicked all around him. But God set his love upon him. God chose him. God said, "David's mine." And despite all that David is and all that David has done, I am going to forgive him. I'm going to set him apart. I'm going to take his sin and lay it upon my son, Jesus Christ. He's going to be the sacrifice. He's going to be his priest. He's going to offer himself in David's place. God made David to differ. And if you differ, it's God's grace and mercy in his gospel in Jesus Christ that has made you to differ. It's his electing grace, his salvation, his choice. It's because God said before ever you were born, before ever the world was created, before ever you came forth from the womb, God said, "You are mine. And I will save you and cleanse you and wash you." As Paul makes plain in Romans 9. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Why was Isaac chosen? Why was Jacob chosen? Why was David chosen? Because before any of them were born, God said, I love them, and I will show them mercy. Do you know this love? Is there a but as for me regarding you? Esau went this way, but Jacob was loved. Esau was hated, but Jacob was loved. But as for me. Can you say, but as for me? Can you say, but as for me? God looked upon me in my wretchedness, in my filth, in my depravity, in my rebellion, in my sin, in the darkness, in the cold, and said, I love you. And he called me forth, and he sent unto me his gospel, and he led me by the Spirit of God by that gospel, outside of the camp, outside of religion, out apart from the world and its ways, out from the wisdom of man, out of the darkness, he led me forth to the cross and opened my eyes and gave me faith to look up and to see a Saviour, a Redeemer, who was slain in the place of sinners, who was slain for me. He gave me faith to look and to stand in an even place in the congregations where I blessed the Lord, and to set mine eyes upon the loving kindness of God as seen in Jesus Christ, as seen in that Saviour who suffered and bled upon that cross for me, that one who gave himself for me that I should live. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Redeem me. But as for me.